and grab a seat. We are going to get into the Word of God today, and we are starting a brand new series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Anybody excited about that? The person and work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you came from a background where the church didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit? Any hands? How many came from a background where that was pretty familiar? Okay, so all kinds of backgrounds. Some people, no church background. We want to get into the Scripture and see what the Word of God has to say about who God the Holy Spirit is. And so, Lord, as we do this, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. We ask this morning that you would teach us, you would reveal who you are in the same way that you love to reveal who Jesus is and who the Father is. So, Lord, we present ourselves to you as hungry sons and daughters. Do what you can do, Lord, and I pray, would you ignite in us a fresh hunger for the Word of God? Lord, on our own individual time with you, God, as we read the Word of God, you would cause it to come alive like never before with revelation and clarity and truth. And that you would stir up and touch our hearts this morning, Holy Spirit, that we would have a hunger and thirst for righteousness to seek Jesus all the days of our lives. That we would love your presence, God. That we'd be a people of worship, a people of holiness, set apart unto you. And so, Lord, again, we commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for the last 30 years of just first and foremost friendship with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, friendship with God the Father, God the Son, but this is, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And that was in my early 20s. But there was a few markers as a child, as a military kid, moving from place to place to place. I do remember 1979 as a five-year-old getting baptized and that being real and genuine. But I remember around 7 years old at a church in San Antonio in worship. It was the first memory I have of the presence of God. And there was a chorus that was singing hallelujah over and over again. I don't know the exact song, but I remember, maybe I was younger because I was looking up and I couldn't even see. It was just all these hands up, and it was the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit just came upon me, and I had never sensed the touch of the Lord like that in such a powerful way at such a young age. We moved to Maryland. And I remember in 1988, we were going to a Nazarene church. It's more of a Bible holiness church. They don't tend to generally talk about the Holy Spirit, but there was a youth retreat, and there was a youth pastor who came in, and this man was on fire for Jesus. He was probably the first man I encountered when I look back now, and I'm saying, this man was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because as he would talk, that same presence would come upon me and I would just weep. And then during ministry time, he was speaking the heart of God over people. I didn't know it was called prophecy at the time. But he would speak things to these little 6th and 7th and 8th and 10th and 12th graders. And they would just begin to cry. And I just watched God, the Holy Spirit, working through this man to encourage and build up, but also places of healing and brokenness where God was just touching and sovereignly healing places of trauma that some of these kids had been through. I'd never encountered anything. It was like heaven came down. 2 years later, Fort Detrick, it's an army base in Maryland. And there's a little chaplain, and there's a group of charismatic Catholics. Anybody ever encountered charismatic Catholics before? So my mom was like, you need a fresh touch. We're going to bring you to these meetings. And so I went, and there was one of the leaders at the end prayed for me, and it was so simple. It was so simple, but it wasn't just the words or the simplicity of the words. It was the touch of the Holy Spirit that came upon me and bore witness with my spirit that what he was saying was true. And he was simply saying, the Lord is drawing you, he's pursuing you, closer. He has a calling on your life. And he said, and I see you leading many young people to the Lord. It was that simple. But I remember as a child watching Billy Graham, the Crusades, and his people would come forward just weeping. So there was something in me of evangelism, even as a child when we didn't have cable. We only had 3 or 4 channels, and Billy Graham was like, you know, back when they actually used to air it, those things, prime time. So when he spoke that, it bore witness with my spirit that this is true, and I felt seen by God. I felt valued by God. It created up more of a hunger to pursue the Lord in the midst of a community where there wasn't a whole lot of believers in my high school. And that's why really the transformation started to happen my college years, because I was around a college ministry in community with people that were pursuing God with all their heart. And it is true, you're impacted by who you hang out with. And so find people who love Jesus more than you and get together with them. And let's burn for Jesus together. But we can't burn apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. So my prayer is that something fresh is stirred in us, because God has so much more. It's not just salvation. It's not just adding Jesus as a piece of your life. It is full surrender, and then in being empowered by the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit and cultivating intimacy with Him. There's a place of knowing God, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever just said, Holy Spirit, what's on your mind right now? Driving down the street, when you wake up, what are you thinking about, Lord? What's on your heart? Like, there's a deeper place of walking with Jesus that the Holy Spirit wants to take our hand and lead us into. There's a deeper place in the Word of God that God wants to take us. We've been, some of us, we've just hit the appetizers and we think that's it. No, there's a full course meal that the Holy Spirit wants to usher us into in the Word of God, in the presence of God, among the people of God, for the purposes of God. But we need the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. Okay, so I know because of time, I'm going to just do a simple teaching of who the Holy Spirit is. And it was amazing that Jesus at the Last Supper that we were just talking about, the one thing he was so excited about, what he was saying, he's like, I've been with you for over 3 years, but I'm going back to my Father, but I'm going to send one just like me. I'm going to ask the Father, and Holy Spirit, he's called the gift of the Father. Isn't that precious? Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the gift of the Father. Like, the Father has given us a gift. Jesus asked the Father, and the Father gave a gift to us, that God would dwell in us. Not just to dwell in us, but to commune with us, to clothe us with anointing and power. It's good. And he was excited because he was like, I'm going back to the Father, and I want to read this. John 14, verse 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That's parakletos. That word means one who comes alongside, an advocate, a helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Powerful words from Jesus. It goes on 2 chapters later, John 16, verse 7. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. And again, 14, 15, 16, 17, this is all the Last Supper discourse. My challenge to you this week, I was going to do this at the end. Read John 13 to 17. That whole discourse at the Last Supper. There's so many good things, but there's quite a bit on who the Holy Spirit is. And so this is 2 chapters later, but there's still, this is the Passover meal. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, this is the Holy Spirit, who will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Okay, so now first question, who is the Holy Spirit? The first question we're going to look at. Actually, there are over 260 verses with direct reference to the Holy Spirit. And in those verses, there are 39 distinctions of who the Holy Spirit is. I could actually read a list and we would just be blown away. And if you have a list like that, maybe we'll post it. We did post a document on the work and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who he is online. I think Michelle's made that available or will soon. But 39 designations. So as you're reading through the scripture, that's why I love to highlight everything that talks about who God is. For me, it's blue. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because I want to know him. Sometimes I need to know him as the comforter. Sometimes I need to know the Holy Spirit as the one who convicts me of sin. Sometimes I need to know him as the one who takes the things that belong to Jesus and reveals it to me. Sometimes I need to know the Holy Spirit as the one that says, go pray for that young man over there who's about to commit suicide. We need the Holy Spirit, and there's so much more, and he wants to wake us up to hunger for him. 39 different designations of who he is. Absolutely amazing. All right, so who is the Holy Spirit? Number one, he's a person. He's not some mystical fog. He's not some energy. You know, the popular spirituality, which is just completely worldly and demonic. He's also not an it. We don't call the Holy Spirit it. How would you feel if someone called you it? Yeah, it came over for dinner last night. He is a person. He has emotions. He has feelings. He has a will. And he loves us deeply. Jesus in John 16 referred to the Holy Spirit as a person using personal pronouns over 13 times. So he is a person, number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit is fully God. He is fully God. He's a person and he's fully God. He is not a junior partner of the Trinity, as we say a lot. He's fully God. He's eternal. He is uncreated. He is equal in glory and majesty with the Father and the Son. Just because they have different roles does not mean that he is any less God than the Father or the Son. He's the one who is always, the Holy Spirit is always trying to glorify Jesus, always trying to exalt the Father. I mean, they're all trying to outdo each other in honor. That's why the culture of heaven is honor. That's why we need to learn to honor one another, not gossip, not slander. Pray for one another. So he is fully God. Acts 5:3, the terrifying story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias, this is just one blip from that, but we can't get into it too deeply. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God. Scripture calls the Holy Spirit God. And from eternity past, God has existed as one God in three persons, Trinity, tri-unity, three in oneness, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all fully and equally God. So he's a person, he's God. Number three, he's to be worshipped with the Father and the Son. Okay, let's go back, 1700 years, or 1780, what's the math on that? Lots of centuries ago, 323 AD, Nicene Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. This has been a foundational creed for the church for centuries. Okay, second question. So, who is the Holy Spirit? We could go much deeper. But the second question I want to ask is, what does the Holy Spirit do? What does he do? Number one, salvation. He lives in you the moment you are saved. There is a legal transaction. You are transferred from darkness to light. You become a child, not of the devil, but a child of God. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you from the moment you are saved. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? You're the very house of God. You're his desired place to dwell. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So he dwells in us. He convicts people to bring them to salvation. And then he works so that we can become more like Jesus in that beautiful process of sanctification. He makes us a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and he indwells us and he seals us, believers, for the day of redemption. I want to read one more scripture. We're going to get into a lot of scripture today. 2 Corinthians 1:22, God also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. The NIV says, a guarantee of what is to come. That word pledge or guarantee, the Greek word actually means engagement ring in modern Greek. It means engagement ring, which is a covenant promise. It's a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit sealing us and God sealing us and giving us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, as a guarantee, or almost like an engagement ring for our full salvation to come. Yes, we are saved, but there will be a day when sin is no more and we will be made new with the Lord. Number two. So number one, he lives in you from the moment you're saved. Number two, the Holy Spirit is always pointing people to Jesus. Okay? He's jealous. Like, there is a jealousy in the heart of the Holy Spirit for you to know Jesus deeply, for you to know the Father deeply. There's a jealousy for you to go deeper in the Lord. John 15:26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. There's one of the 39. The Spirit of truth. You could just meditate on that for a few minutes. Who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Going on, 16:14, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. And I want to read as well Romans 8:15, where now not only reveals Jesus, but the Father heart of God for us and that we're sons of God. Romans 8:15, you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit is testifying to your spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is, if you will take an ear to listen, the Holy Spirit is saying, you're a beautiful daughter. Your Father loves you. You're a son. The Father loves you. He's revealing the love of the Father. He's revealing the majesty and glory of Jesus. He's an amazing, I am so thankful for the gift of the Father, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Okay, number three, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's also our helper, our comforter, teacher, guide. But I want to just look at this specifically. He's our teacher. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Sometimes we say, well, I read my Bible and I don't understand. Well, we have so many helpful tools and technology, which is amazing. But the best tool that you have is actually the author of Scripture himself, the Holy Spirit. So ask him. Say, Holy Spirit, help me understand. You are the Spirit of truth. It says right here, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. What a promise. What a promise. I mean, you need to write that down and just begin to pray that Scripture. Take a book of the Bible. Take it, like I said, John 13-17, and say, Holy Spirit, reveal truth to me and he will. And then get a journal and write it down. Write down the things that the Lord speaks to you. Okay? As a teacher, he reveals who God is and he reveals who we are in God so that that identity can be established, so that we'll be strengthened against the schemes of the enemy. When those arrows fly, we know who we are. He reveals the love of God. He's an amazing a teacher. John 14:26. I want to read this as well. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I said to you. So it's again, or did we just read that? Anyway, he teaches us all things. He is an amazing a teacher. And my prayer is that as we follow his leadership, that he would lead us into a foundation of truth and begin to uproot lies in our lives. My prayer is that as we walk with the Holy Spirit, that we'll grow in revelation of the love of Jesus and then begin to walk out in the love of Jesus toward others. My prayer is that as we go deeper in the Holy Spirit, that we'll know the power and anointing that is available and the giftings that are available to the body of Christ so that we can rightly function as a not a weak church, but as a church that has power and anointing because God is among us and active, and we've surrendered to what He wants to do. So truth, love, and power is my prayer. All right, to end the sermon, I'm going to give you three ways of how we relate to God, the Holy Spirit, because it is all about relationship. It's all about relationship. All right? I'm going to give you three words, and then we're going to go through these three points. Follow, fellowship, and filled. And y'all should be taking notes, by the way. Follow, fellowship, and filled. Three ways we relate to Him. Number one, follow. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. That means to live under His influence, under His lordship, because He's as much Lord as the Father and the Son. And to obey what He says. When he speaks something to you, to obey. Romans 8:6 says this, that the mind set on the flesh is death. How many know that's true? When you start thinking carnal stuff, it just leads to death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. What a promise. Anybody want more life and peace in your life? Then pray this prayer. Pray this prayer. That's why I'm like, in your time with Jesus, have scriptures that you're praying, because it's just not trying to say, I'm going to try to do better to make this happen. We have to actually pray. Holy Spirit, help my mind, those racing thoughts, Lord. Help me take captive those things that are not from You. That anoint me, great, give me grace and strength, Lord, and my family, to set our minds, our thoughts on You, Holy Spirit, and what You're doing. That we would walk in this promise that You gave, which is life and peace. Verse 14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That is the marker of the children of God, is that we are led by the Holy Spirit, okay? So that's following Him. Number two, fellowship. We are to walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Isn't that amazing? That's another great prayer to just write. Lord, I ask for the grace of the Lord Jesus to be released in my life, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. There's a promise right there. The grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and fellowship, which is intimacy. All right? So this is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2:1 as well, it says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation or comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, and then it goes on with an exhortation. But my point is, Scripture clearly talks about unique fellowship with the person of God, the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just like pray, you know, but there's a unique place of fellowship with the Father, unique place of fellowship with the Son, unique place of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Even in the mystery of that God is one in three persons. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right? So in this place of fellowship, a couple of things. He can be honored or He can be grieved. He can be welcomed or He can be quenched. And Scripture exhorts us both, gives us Scriptures that says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4. 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what the very next verse talks about? Unwholesome talk. Unwholesome talk. You would be surprised at how much of what grieves the Holy Spirit is our words. That's why I've got multiple scriptures in my prayer guide. Lord, guard my heart. Guard the door of my lips that I would not sin against You. Power and life is in life and death is in the power of the tongue. So Holy Spirit, James says, no one can tame the tongue. I'm asking help to tame the tongue. I want to do things that honor You, that give You glory and not grieve You. In other words, grieving, that means He's made Himself vulnerable for His feelings to be hurt. You can actually hurt the heart of God by grieving Him, by doing things that dishonor Him. There was a missionary couple in Egypt and a dove set up a nest, and so there's these doves living there. And they noticed every time they began to argue or even slam a door, the doves would leave. And it's the same picture. Like, the Holy Spirit doesn't technically leave us because he lives in our spirit. But in terms of fellowship with him, when we do things that grieve him, he gives us space. And I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live in a way where the Holy Spirit is always having to give me space because I'm just living carnal and I'm just speaking my mind because I need to speak my mind. No, we need to humble ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, when do I speak? When do I listen? When do I, I don't know, Lord, guard me, guide me. I want to do things that honor you and speak life. All right, so he can be honored, he can be grieved. Number two, he can be welcomed and he can be quenched. Quenched means to put out the Spirit's fire, to stop what he's doing. Often it's out of fear. Some churches, God begins to move. There's a little revival. They don't, and out of fear, they just shut it down because they can't control it because they want to be in control. But God's the one that's in control. Now, leaders need to steward moves of God so that it doesn't get weird and doesn't get carnal. But we want to be people who welcome the Holy Spirit and not quench him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Holy Spirit. What's the very next verse? It talks about words again. But in everything give thanks. Do not quench him. All right, so how do you welcome him? You begin by walking in thanksgiving. And again, I've said this before, but on the ride to school, now the school's almost ending with my kids, we always start out rounds of, Lord, I thank you for, and then dot, 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 dot. And then I worship you because you are holy, because you are Jesus. And then we go into a time of prayer. But thanksgiving is one of those things that welcomes his presence. And it's a fascinating search throughout Scripture to see what attracts God. All right, last one, and we're going to land the plane. As preachers often say, I don't know, we always use that term. We're going to finish the sermon. Last one, filled. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Our very last verse. And by the way, in this verse, talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it is a continual filling, all right? So Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. It's not an option. Well, I just want Jesus. I just want to be saved. I'm kind of scared of who the Holy Spirit is because I don't know how to relate to him because I can understand the picture of Father and I can picture Jesus because we have the Gospels and he's God and he's man. How do I relate to the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit will help you. But we're to be continually filled with his power because Jesus actually, which we'll get into probably next week, Acts 2, day of Pentecost, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which empowered and strengthened the church. Okay, so your challenge was this week is read John 13 to 17. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you. Maybe create a couple of scriptures for your devotional prayer guide to pray over yourself. And throughout the day, just talk to the Lord. Just ask him questions. Learn to walk in a manner where you're eagerly desiring to abide in Jesus throughout the day because the Holy Spirit is so good. He's so good at helping. He's so good at doing that. I want to end with this, what just happened Wednesday, because again, I'm just so thankful for the Holy Spirit and what he does and who he is and the works that he does. But I was in a prayer counseling session with somebody, and we were going over a traumatic event from me as a child, where there was, you know, it was a fearful environment, and I saw myself as this little 7-year-old, all alone, unsafe, in darkness. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gives me this picture. This has just happened Wednesday. And this light opens up from heaven, and the Father comes down with this smile and takes me up as this child. and holds me and says, "You are loved." And I just begin to weep, almost wail, just begin to weep. There's so many places in our lives that the Holy Spirit wants to get to. Yes, to reveal who God is, but to bring us to a deeper place of healing and wholeness. And I've been meditating. I'm like, thank you, God, for that. Thank you for revealing the heart of God the Father, who was reparenting me through some trauma of parenting. So let me just end with a prayer as we stand together. Lord, you guys can stand as we get ready to worship. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross and your resurrection. And thank you for your promise that you said you would send one just like you. Precious Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We don't want to dishonor you. We don't want to grieve you. We don't want to quench you, God. I pray, teach us in our weakness. Teach us in our spiritual youth and ignorance. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in each of our homes, each of our lives. And I pray, take us by the hand. Take us deeper into the things of the heart of God, we pray. In your beautiful and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.